Gary DePaul with Unlabeled Leadership. Welcome to episode 39, Elaine Schock Will Always Defend You. Here's a shout out to listeners from Riga, Latvia, and the Port of Spain in Trinidad and Tobago. With that, let's get started. There are several different coaching certificates and certifications you can get. Some of them include Advanced Certified Personal and Executive Coach, or ACPEC, Associate Certified Coach, Professional Certified Coach, and an unusual one called Certified Conversational Intelligence Coach. Well, it just so happens that Elaine has all of them. Saying that she's a lifelong learner, that would be an understatement. What it does say about her is that much of her coaching is founded on evidence-based research, such as in neuroscience, emotional intelligence, appreciative inquiry, positive psychology, mindfulness, and strengths, just to name a few. Oh, by the way, there's something that you won't learn from her LinkedIn profile, and that is she knows technical writing and editing. On occasion, she's reviewed some of my writing. I can safely say, if you need coaching or technical editing, Elaine's your person. Part 1, Taking Credit is Insufficient. In my book, 9 Practices of 21st Century Leadership, I list 26 leadership beliefs that's derived from various leadership books. One of these beliefs is this: allowing teams to make mistakes enables them to be open with their mistakes and learn from the experience. Elaine shares with us a similar belief that has become one of her guiding principles. Here's Elaine.
The thing that I would love to tell you about that has made an impact on my life was a professor in my bachelor's program said to us, "You cannot take credit for what you do right unless you take responsibility for what you do wrong." And the reason that made such an impact on me then was, you know, saying, yes, okay, you know, it's great to take credit for what you do and everything, but I also have to own those things that I don't do well or that I messed up on. Part of being vulnerable is a part of recognizing when we haven't done something well and giving that space to other people to feel comfortable owning their own mistakes as well and recognizing, you know, this doesn't have to be a catastrophic failure. The thing that it has touched my life going forward with is also recognizing there are times when we're really, really hard on ourselves and we're not as good at recognizing about the things that we've done well. And so flipping that around also and saying, yes, I'm taking all sorts of responsibility for all these things that I've done and oh my goodness and all of that, but also saying, okay, not 100% a failure. I have done things right. And so I can take credit for those things as well. And so from those two perspectives, that statement by the professor of mine in my bachelor's program has made such a profound impact on my life. And that's something that I have carried with me ever since.
It's so important to do that. And if you're in a position where you're trying to practice leadership, there's a belief about putting others first. That's sort of like the principle, but the belief is giving credit for accomplishments to others is more important than taking credit.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And I love that. And that is something that I think is so helpful that for us as team members or as leaders to do for those around us is for them to recognize that it feels pretty good to be able to have credit for things that they've done right. And how about I share that as well? Because that feels good as well.
Yeah, definitely. I love the quotation, you know, you cannot take credit for what you do unless you take responsibility for what you do wrong. Mm-hmm. It's a good driving principle that guides you. And it's something that I get the impression that you share this with other people as well.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. Well, I think you encapsulated it very nicely, tying it to one of your leadership principles, which I love. So I thought you did beautifully, Gary.
Well, thank you. Part 2, Inspiring Others to Be at Their Best. There are several ways you can inspire people. You can give a captivating speech, or it could be as simple as just modeling certain behaviors. But oftentimes, it's a combination of that and what you say to people and how you treat people. Elaine shares a story about how someone she reported to inspired her. Here's Elaine now.
The leadership example that I would love to give you is one of my favorite bosses. And I'm going to give a shout out to Cheryl Joy. She is a beautiful woman that I worked for at one of the first hospitals that I worked at as a speech pathologist. I was in what's referred to as the clinical fellowship year. So I needed a certified, nationally certified speech therapist to review everything. So I was still very new in the field, still, you know, I'd finished my master's degree, but still had to go through this experience and was working at a hospital that at that time had a very strong personality medical director, if I can say so gently. He was very adamant that things had to go a specific way, and I'm going to insert also known as his way. And that wasn't always possible because obviously the reason there are different specialists is they bring their own perspective and their own value and input into patient care, and not always did he agree. The thing that Cheryl did for me and the others on the rehabilitation team was she said to us, no matter what happens, I will always defend you. Now I will check into it. And if I find that you have done something that isn't showing up as your best self or isn't in the best interest of patients, we will speak about it, but it will be in private. But to anyone outside of our department, I will defend you. And that was really powerful for me as someone just starting out, because having someone who wouldn't jerk the rug out from underneath me when I was still pretty tentative gave me a really valuable way to move forward when I knew I was right or I knew something was in the best interest of the patient care, even in the face of this particular gentleman who had some very strong opinions. That was very helpful to me. And knowing that she wouldn't just embarrass me if I didn't do something right, that we could move forward with a learning opportunity. The flip side of that, that it also did for me was I really, really wanted to show up as my best because I never wanted to sacrifice her reputation over something I had done wrong. And so it really inspired me to be the best that I could be and to really research things and to really get good at what I was doing and make sure that I was as right as I could be at any of those key moments that I felt like were going to become controversial. And so to me, that is really something that was so powerful for her to do for us as a team.
Cheryl, in a sense, gave you, in a sense, permission to make mistakes and to try things on your own. And she's sort of like giving psychological support for you to do that. And I love how you state that that has affected you, inspired you in a way to try to do the best you can, knowing that you have that support there in case things go wrong with, say, like this medical director.
Yes. And there were numerous opportunities to have this proposition tested because there were numerous times where he would absolutely disagree with my recommendation for a specific patient's care. She absolutely would go toe-to-toe with him and support me, even if it was uncomfortable for her. It was very helpful for me. Didn't give me that sense of, oh, I can do anything I want because she'll support me. But no, it was when I do have to stand firm on something because I feel it is absolutely a case of patient safety, that I knew I had her support. And that was so helpful for me to then feel like I could, to feel empowered to do what I felt was best for the patients. And that was really critical for me, especially during the early part of my career.
And at the same time, Cheryl wanted to understand the rationale, the thinking behind that as well. I'm guessing there might be times in which she disagrees with something. You work through it. I love the fact that she does give you this support, which enables you to try your best and be inspired to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I loved the opportunities, you know, in private to discuss, well, this is the reason why I did that, and have her say, well, how about this perspective? Or if the situation comes up again, maybe consider this alternative way of handling the situation. So it was a great learning opportunity for me as well to know that I had that safe space to be able to access her as a resource about real life situations, not just, hey, what do you think I should do if this ever comes up? No, this thing came up and it was very distressing to me. And
yeah. How
can I handle it differently? And that was something that I really felt she was investing in my growth as well, but doing it in a very safe, respectful, and empowering way.
And I've even seen and personally experienced recently where I would say something to a client, my business partner would be listening instead of saying something to me right then and there in front of the client. Afterwards, he talked to me and said, by the way, you could have said this, and really repositioned what was going on. Just having that person there, you know, you're not going to be embarrassed. You're going to have that support and you can make corrective actions afterwards.
Absolutely. And it's a beautiful way to learn and grow, which I think is a wonderful goal for all of us to have is, you know, none of us know everything and there's always benefit in hearing others' perspectives. And it was really, really wonderful and something that I've carried with me ever since.
Part 3, asking questions can build trust. In corporate America, there's a lot of talk about building trust and a lot of focus on trust, gotta build trust. We need people to trust us. We need our people to trust us. Instead of focusing on trust, they should focus on the right behaviors, doing the right thing. And sometimes it's just asking the right questions. It's in this area, asking questions, that Elaine offers some advice. And I think this advice leads to building trust. Again, here's Elaine.
The one thing that I really enjoy sharing with leaders and with team members that I have really found valuable for myself as well is to ask 2 questions and to set up a regular time when these questions are asked in between team members or in between a leader and their team is to say, what is one thing I'm doing right? And what is one thing that I can improve upon? A confident leader will be willing to have that be asked both directions.
Yeah, definitely.
If you're not ready for that, then have it be from your team member to you to ask you what is one thing that they are doing well and what is one thing that they can do to improve. And the reason I like to suggest this is because from a neuroscience standpoint, because I am a nerd, is that our brains will go out and find information, find data to support whatever we've decided on. And if you know that regularly you are going to have this brief conversation with each one of your team members, your brain is going to be looking for what are they doing right? What areas can I help support them in growing more? How can I invest in them more? And that creates this very collaborative sense and this very empowering and supportive sense about your team environment that allows each person to feel like, yes, I'm doing things that are right. And yes, there are things that I'm doing well. And my boss, my leader, my team lead, whoever is looking out for me and is saying, you're doing this great. Now, here's an area where I think you can excel if we make this one small change or this one small shift. So I like to encourage people to ask those 2 questions of what's one thing that I'm doing right and what's one thing that I can do to improve on. I specifically emphasize those last words because what's one thing I'm really sucking at or one thing I'm doing terrible?
Yeah.
It's what's one thing that I can improve upon. It's starting from that sense of you are doing things well and you are doing things in a way that is good, but maybe let's go for better or great or the best in this one area. That is something that I like to recommend to people is just have those regular conversations because you will find that you will learn interesting things about yourself and what people appreciate about you and also just grow from others' perspectives.
You know, it's so important to ask those things because getting feedback, especially in the corporate world, it's like rationed. Mm-hmm. You only do a little bit at a time. And a lot of people, they don't do it until the end of the year. You know, they have these annual reviews and suddenly you get this feedback that you weren't expecting. I like those 2 questions. And I really like the idea of someone who is a manager or a lead asking subordinates those 2 questions about herself or himself.
Yeah.
It sends a powerful message.
It really does. And it does take a certain amount of confidence, a certain amount of being willing to be vulnerable, because of course, inherent to that is if you receive feedback about, oh, I'm doing this great. That's wonderful. This is something that's appreciated. But there's that other bit, which can be a little stingy sometimes, which is what's one thing that I can improve upon. Because then you need to. It's something that you need to show an effort towards, because that really does send a powerful message to people that when I take the time to give you feedback, both positive and, you know, maybe supportive, we'll say it that way, that's something that I really want to see you grow in. A third question that some people can find beneficial to add is, and how can I support you in doing that? That again can go both ways of the team member to the lead saying, you know, and the way that I can support you to do that is by, and give an example. And so again, it really emphasizes that collaboration and that supportive and empowering environment. I like to use the word edify, which, you know, just means we're building each other up. We can all grow by doing that.
If you ask those two questions and third question as well, it really opens up the opportunity to give permission for someone else to let you know when you're doing something that is, you know, it's either wrong or there's a way of doing it better.
Yeah.
Fine tuning is so important, but it, you know, if you think about it, it also is a way of building trust.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And a sense of accountability and feeling valued and appreciated, and also feeling like others are invested in your growth as well and will support you along the way.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I like the feeling valued. Mm-hmm. It's another way of doing it. So if we were teammates and I asked, how am I doing? Or how can I improve on something? Or how can I improve? Is there anything you think I can improve on? It says, I value what you have to say. I'm going to listen. Mm-hmm. And especially if I do what you suggest, you know, it just encourages people to be more open.
Yes.
Not have to rely on 360 feedback. Yeah. That's secretive, right. You know?
Yes. It's that more, what I like to refer to as more direct mutual respect for each other, recognizing each other's worth and supporting each other in areas of growth.
If we can just do that more frequently, maybe not every time and go excessive, but
right.
Definitely more than once a year, once a quarter, once a month, or once a week, you know, just.
Yeah.
It changes the whole culture.
Oh, absolutely. And there's research that shows that the amount of time that an employee spends with their boss has a direct impact on their growth and their likelihood of being promoted and in their compensation. And so the interesting thing is, you know, when I speak to leaders and they say, well, I don't have time to meet with all of my team. You know, I've got so many people or whatever. These conversations don't have to be long. And you can set it up saying, this will be 10 minutes. Come prepared. We're going to go over it. And then off you go. And that's it. For people who have really large teams, you can pick people. Okay, these five other people are your people. They are going to be your sub team, if you will. But to really create that culture of support and mutual respect, and to do it as I love the word that you picked, to create that sense of trust amongst each other, that we all are looking out for each other's good as individuals and as a team.
My thanks to Elaine Schock. If you'd like to learn more about Elaine, go to the show notes. And if you have a question or comment, go to unlabeledleadership.com and click the message icon. Maybe I'll play it on the air. You can leave a message, by the way, up to 1 minute, I believe. I'd like to thank those who have helped with the show financially. It helps with the production cost. But most important, I'd like to thank you for listening. Until next time, lead on.